Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. And yes, we still have a Hotmail address. Oh, if that doesn't do it for you, then head on over to sportstimeradio.com. The blogs go up over there on Wednesday and Saturday, so there will be one popping up there sometime tomorrow, preferably in the morning, but we'll see how it goes. While you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can hit that link. It'll take you to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page, and since you're there, go ahead and give it a like. Don't forget we also have the Twitter feed, which is @sportstimeradio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am @BurkeTime, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with 3 E's.
So, all right, Dan, we have some new overtime playoff rules in the NFL, but they only changed them for the postseason. So what they're going to do now is instead of, the first team that gets, if you kick off to a team and they score a touchdown, the game's over. In the postseason, or the playoffs, as you and I like to call them, both teams will get a possession. Now, if both teams score and the game is still tied, I believe they will go to sudden death rules is how it's going to work out. In the regular season, it's still the same. They're going to do, hey, if I kick the ball off to you and you take it down the field and score, the game is over. What do you think kind of made them decide to not do this the entire season? I mean, it makes sense. It seems like it's a good rule. Why only the playoffs?
Because you see more crying about it in the playoffs on social media than you would during the regular season, where during the regular season you're only going to see that team's fans crying about it, complaining about it. If I was doing it, you could tell me I'm crying about it too. I think that's the biggest portion. So, I mean, if you think about it, in that sense, let's just go with the Bears. You and I are Bears fans our whole life, blah, 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 die hard, Bears lose. And overtime to the sudden death, you and I go back for 5 minutes. This sucks. But it kind of goes away quicker, where I think with the Super Bowl, with the squares and basically because of the gambling, in the end, you have pretty much, I'd say, our country split down the middle of, who was rooting for either one. And if it were to die in sudden death in that normal instance, it not only would be a big social media thing, but that would be all sports radio talk, not just the local station. It would be everybody would be talking about it. It would, hit your news networks. It would hit everything. So, you've got to wonder if the whole media, social media part of it kind of helped play a role in getting this rule only in the playoffs. And maybe it was a way to separate the regular season from the playoffs too.
So, I don't know. It just seemed easy enough to just kind of, hey, let's just put it and go with it. But I guess it doesn't extend regular season games. I mean, imagine if, a sudden death regular season game went, God only knows how many extra hours or whatever, because they didn't say if they're just going to end in a tie. Well, obviously in the playoffs they can't end in a tie after one quarter. They have to have a winner. But I guess in the regular season, they could have added it and just said, hey, well, you know, if you play it out and nobody scores, it's just a tie. But, you know, either or, you know, it doesn't affect me as much as I heard. Oh, excuse me. I heard it affect some people. So we'll see. You know, and this all comes from that Kansas City Chiefs-Buffalo Bills, that wild playoff game where Kansas City won the coin flip and went down the field and scored, and the Bills never got the football. So
that's
the reason we're doing that. And that was a really good playoff game. It just, you know, just had the horrible ending. So, you know, and then, you know, the NFL did make a couple other changes. They made permanent a health and safety change to free kick formations. I don't know what the change was, but it's permanent now. And then they've also put in a rule that will allow clubs to block other teams from hiring away their secondary football executives, you know, assistant general managers, people like that in those positions, prior to the completion of the NFL draft. So interestingly, like, you know, here locally, the Bears wouldn't even have a general manager right now if they had to wait till after the draft, because I believe Ryan Poles was the Chiefs assistant general manager when the Bears hired him. So that's kind of, it'll be interesting to see how that rule plays out and if it affects hiring for some of these guys, because, you know, imagine, Dan, if you're sitting there second in command and somebody wants you to come in and be the first guy, are they going to wait for you till after the draft when part of the general manager's job or a lot of the general manager's job is to prepare for the draft and make the picks? You know, these guys going to lose out on jobs because of that rule, you think?
Yeah, that's quite possible.
You know, and I mean, is it, you think it's possible we could see trades for guys like this? I mean, I know every now and then we've had a trade in baseball for a manager. You think it's possible we get an NFL trade for, you know, you get like a seventh round pick if we can hire your assistant general manager now?
You know, I mean, I don't think it's all that, you know, not feasible, because if you think about it, these guys are under contract. You know, the players are under contract, you know, for a set time. So, you know, why not? Why wouldn't we include them? You know, like you said, they could be packaged up. You get my, you know, last pick of the draft, and, you know, and my guy, and I'll take this or whatever. So it could open up a whole new game.
You hire this guy now, because, you know, they don't really go into a lot of detail on the rules. So, wouldn't it also, like, say, you know, obviously, you know, whatever job you're in now, if somebody came to you from another company, said they wanted to hire you, give you a better job for more money, and the company you were with said no, wouldn't that cause a lot of ill will?
Yeah, I think it would. But
yeah,
I think that's still technically tampering, I would think. But you know, the rules are different, I would think, with players and staff. So it might not be any different than, you know, sitting here on LinkedIn right now and I get a message from, you know, my company's rival or competitor or whatever, and, you know, they offer me more and I just go there. So, you know, if it's done through the right channels, but, you know, it might not be an issue. You know, the guys could just quit a job and go take another one. But I think what you're referring to, too, though, is like trading. You know, I'm kind of, you know, I'm sitting back. You know, you're owner of Team A and or president or whatever the position is who hires that guy. You know, we're both in that position. And, you know, we're friends. We're supposed to be enemies according to media, but we're friends, you know, or we're at some NFL convention and we're sitting by the bar having dinner or whatever. And, you know, you've got the opening, and I've got a guy I know, you know, could fill that role, but I already have my guy. So, hey, why don't we, you know, make a deal? We'll send, you know, Jerry and his family over to you, and I'll take, you know, your draft picks. Something like that. So it would, you know, I mean, that's, if you think about it, a lot of times, you know, how many guys have you gotten? How many guys have you helped acquire a job? You know, it's all about who you know. So that could be a way. So I don't know if I'm throwing out stupid scenarios or kind of going too far into it.
Well, I like the sitting at the bar thing. You know, that was kind of funny.
Or the golf course, you know. Deals are made on the golf course, right?
So...
We're
picking up in my long-winded fantasy draft, so Mr. Fantasy just texted me to let me know that.
But I was going to say, speaking of Sundays, I don't know how much you got to see, but I pretty much was unfortunately able to watch like the last 10 laps of NASCAR on Sunday. I love the road courses, so it really sucked that I missed most of it. You know, they're a lot more exciting, but Big Jack, of all the fantasy, you know, a couple of times we did it through Yahoo, and then of all the contests I've joined on FanDuel over the last few years, I've never picked the winner. And I picked Ross Chastain, right? As, I don't know why I was blanking on his name. I picked him to win. And I will say, Big J, it was pretty fun to watch him get up on that car and slam the watermelon and then eat it. Maybe you can get some insight into that. I didn't get it. But I won. And here I'm thinking I'm going to cash in maybe just a couple bucks or maybe more. And all I got was my quarterback plus another. And I had Joey Logano, who totaled his car, and other guys who didn't place well. So highlight of my day was also the low point. I guess at least I got my money back, right? My change back.
Yeah.
So I, you know, I had to brag about it, but cry about it too.
They're better to win than lose, right?
Yeah. What, you didn't cash any money this weekend for NASCAR?
No, actually I did. I managed to win a couple bucks. So I did okay.
Big ballers here.
I forgot exactly how many. I don't remember. But yeah, I was I've had pretty good luck with NASCAR. Oh, I'm allergic to winning money. See, that's my problem here. But yeah, super exciting finish, and I had Ross Chastain too in my lineup.
Oh.
And I was concerned when Allmendinger went by him.
Yes.
You know, I was I ended up making $3 worth of bets, and I won $4.50. So I did okay. I'll take that.
Yeah.
But I was a little worried there. I was kind of like, oh, okay, we're in trouble. You know, what's going on? Is he going to get back? And then I thought Alec Bowman was going to win, and I was like, okay, well, that's not going to do me good. So, yeah. But, yeah, fortunately, he came back, and he ended up wrecking Allmendinger, but, hey, that's part of racing.
Yeah, but the Boozer thing, he deserved it.
You know, not to make you feel bad, I watched the truck race and the Xfinity race on Saturday, and then I watched all of the NASCAR race on Sunday.
I'm gonna have to watch the truck race. How do you like that in comparison?
I really enjoy it. I get a kick out of it. So, you know, I actually like the trucks better than I like the Xfinity race.
Mm-hmm.
So not as much as I like the NASCAR, of course. That's always going to be the first one.
Yeah.
But You know, yeah, the trucks I really enjoy. There's just, I don't know, something kind of cool about them when you see them. You know, they look like pickup trucks flying around there, so it makes it fun. I had a good time. You know, well, you got to see the finish, right? And now you were asking about Chastain. The watermelon thing is, apparently he used to be, or maybe he still is. I'm guessing he doesn't do it anymore. But he used to be a watermelon farmer before he got into NASCAR. So that's the whole gimmick there.
Well, that's all you had to say.
Yeah. No.
I mean, you know, it's pretty cool. I just, you know, I never seen him win, so didn't know a whole lot about
that
him.
Was
I, you know, I've
right. Why?
Yeah. Oh, okay. when they said that, I must have just assumed, you know, because there's been a lot of first winners of the season. So I didn't realize it was his first win altogether. But that's pretty awesome for him. You know, I don't know, Big Jack, you know, all the guys I was picking last year, the Bushes, Logano, Denny, you know, I think a couple more guys that were on that list. You know, I was picking them last year and was winning. You know, I wasn't winning big or anything, but these were the drivers that were pretty consistent. Maybe I'm remembering more so the second half of the season or, you know, towards the end. But is the new car really messing everybody up, where the guys who, you know, last year, like I said, were the guys I was picking and really kind of winning with them, are they seeing problems with that? I mean, I know you can't do anything about a wreck, but it just seems like the guys that, you know, the go-tos, the ones you really recognize and would immediately pick up on, to even, you know, even if you're doing the Fox Bet thing, you go after them, aren't winning, you know, and it seems to me like the Chevys are maybe not at the top as much.
Yeah, well, you know, what I'm trying to figure out is it the new car, or is it just the fact that there are a lot of talented young drivers in this series now?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can kind of see the newer guys moving in and the older guys kind of being not so much phased out, but kind of headed that way.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, you know, for a while it was dominated by, you know, the Kevin Harvicks, the Bushes, you mentioned Hamlin, you know, those kind of guys. And I think Kyle has a win. I think Kyle did get a win early. I don't remember off the top of my head. If not, he's ran really well. But, you know, like Harvick hasn't won in a very long time. You know, Denny Hamlin really hasn't contended all season. Now, granted, it's still really early that, you know, they could figure that out. So you do kind of wonder, you know, is the new guard coming in, you know, in NASCAR?
Yeah. You know, it was kind of just interesting to me when I'm like, you know, the guys that were the highest points, you know, getting you the high points. And that's more so what I was looking at, you know, are the guys that aren't even passing 50 now. So it's been, you know, frustrating, to be honest.
Well, here's the little tip I learned about winning on FanDuel for NASCAR that I can give you is you want to find those guys who are in the back of the pack that are going to pass a lot of cars, because that scores good points for you. You know, obviously you want the winner. If you can nail the winner or the guy who's going to lead a ton of laps, that's huge. But, you know, when you're looking and you've got that guy, sometimes it's okay to take a shot with that guy starting 35th if it's a name you like, because he's going to go by a bunch of cars. Or if you get a guy who, you know, is generally a good driver and gets sent to the back due to a failed inspection or an equipment change or something like that, he's going to pass a lot of cars because he's a good driver. And that can really add up your points. So I always kind of try to find those guys in the back. And fortunately for me, I saw Ross Chastain driving the Xfinity race on Saturday, and he looked really good. That's the only reason I had him in my lineup. I was going to go with Christopher Bell, and I changed it. So it worked out really well. It worked out really well for me.
Yeah. You know, one of those, part of it was the money. You know, I was working with the budget. But I just kind of was looking at, I was pulling them up and just looking at their points over the last, you know, couple weeks, just kind of gauge, you know, who I thought was going to be on the ups. And he just fell in there. So I got lucky with that, but the rest of my, you know, 50 cents. So wish I could have been at the top of that one.
Yeah, you know, I keep wondering, again, like any time we do this with FanDuel, I want to know how these guys put their lineups together. You know, because, like, I'll look at some, and all I'm thinking to myself is, how did you pick that guy? Because he's never finished good here. But yet you had him. And, I don't know why. I think it was a couple, maybe it was just 2 weeks ago now. I think it was Cody LaJoy had a really good finish. He had like a sixth place or a seventh place finish. And generally he's outside the top 20. And the guy who won had him in his lineup, but I'm like, okay, what made you realize that Cody LaJoy was going to have this kind of run at this track? You know, where did that pop into your head? So...
the algorithm. I don't know.
It must be. So, you know, I'm just kind of like, okay, you know, how did this happen? So yeah, well, you know, but yeah, just, you know, it gets so weird like that when you see it, and it's like, really? You were on that guy? How come, you know, why wasn't I on that guy? But yeah,
well,
you know, football, anything we do gets like that, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I'm not a big gambler to begin with, so, you know, as we've talked before, I put in my $25 how many years ago, and I've never put any more money into it. So I'm the one guy FanDuel hates. They'll give me and, you know, for whatever reason, when they give me, like, the free one, I always win on that one. That's the one I win on. And then I just keep playing with their money, essentially. You know, for the NFL, they gave me a free pass to a game that was like $8. And, you know, I put together kind of a weak lineup, if you ask me. And I wasn't even thinking about it because I don't look at the prices of the entry fees when they're free. I just join, you know, I sign in. Oh, you're giving it to me? I got a voucher? Cool. I just put the lineup in and I'm done. So when I came back the next day and I won like $25, $30, I don't remember what it was. I had to check the fee and I'm like, oh, now I see why people enter the ones with the fees, but I can also see how that'll get dangerous for myself, you know?
Yeah, that's a tough call. I think still the most I've ever done is like $3. I haven't bet any more because that's a slippery slope. You know, you see those contests that are, you know, 25 or even there's some in the hundreds or the thousands, I believe.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And it's just not hundreds of thousands, but hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars to enter. And yeah, I don't want to go there.
No.
That's a little frightening for me. I can't. You know, can't be like, oh yeah, hey, guess what? I lost $100 on a fantasy FanDuel lineup. Yeah.
Well, you know, the funny thing, I just lost my train of thought. I totally lost it. But yeah, I like doing fan. Oh, that's what I was going to say. You know, I think having played, you know, regular fantasy, and then when I joined FanDuel. Was when we were getting Mr. Fantasy to do his weekly picks. You know, it was awesome. And I think that's part of the reason I had never put money, so much money in, because I was using Mr. Fantasy's picks, and I was doing my own, and I was playing beginner games. So I was dominating the crap out of everybody in the beginner, but that only lasted like a good month or two, if I remember. And I got booted out, you know, I got booted out of the beginners and had to play with the regular guy, you know, the guys who know how to play.
Yeah, well, yeah, you go through the beginner stuff pretty quick. They don't allow you to hang around there too long. So, you know, it's just one of those things. So, but yeah, hey, you know, again, I'd rather win, you know, and take even if it's a nickel, I don't care. You know, I'd rather win than lose. So I don't ever complain when I cash. You know, about the worst I do is I'll look at my line and go, oh, man, if I would only play this guy, you know.
Yeah. So. If only Joey Logano didn't crash.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of winning, I was looking Sunday night, and I was looking at the NBA statistics, standings, and the Bulls, you know, if the season were to end today, blah, 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 the Bulls would be taking on the Celtics in the first round. I know you asked me before how I felt about it. I feel better about the Bulls playing the Celtics than maybe going up against, like, Toronto, a couple other teams up there in the top now, the Heat, you know, so... In that sense, so, you know, for me, I'm hoping the Bulls kind of get stuck in that position. They could just battle it out with Boston, and, you know, who cares which one finishes four and which one finishes five. I think they would have a decent series. I don't know if the Bulls would win, but I think they'd have a good opportunity. But, you know, I was kind of wondering what your thoughts on it were, because the last time we talked, they had kind of dropped themselves out and were almost going to have to play in.
Yeah, well, they had a really bad loss last night to the New York Knicks.
Oh,
definitely a team they shouldn't lose to, but
no.
Yeah, as of right now, they would still face Boston. The problem, of course, is the fact that while Miami is number one, they're only a game ahead of Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and Boston. And the Bulls are actually tied with right now.
Mm-hmm.
So they would think they would get a win tonight against the Washington Wizards, who are playing, you know, your favorite guy, Bradley Beal, is done for the season. So you would like to think they would get a win there, but you also thought they would have got a win last night against the Knicks, and they didn't. So we'll have to see how that works out. But I don't like any of the matchups. You know, if they end up against the Heat, the 76ers, the Bucks, or the Celtics, I think they're in trouble against any of them.
Yeah.
Especially with the way they've been playing. You know, I don't see this team getting out of the first round, and, you know, they're only a game out of slipping into the play-in. So they've got to be careful, or else they might not even get out of that.
Yeah.
You know, because I think they'll have to beat Brooklyn. They might have to beat Brooklyn to get out of the play-in. And I don't know if they could do that, you know, especially now that Kyrie can play at home, right?
Exactly. It's going to be, I don't know, you know, for the longest time, all we did was talk about the NBA West. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about, of course, like everybody else, that the West was the best. And, you know, why doesn't LeBron compete in the West? And I think you'll kind of know where I'm going with it. So it's interesting to see all the best from the West, so to speak, all came East. And this East division, which we get to see more of because of time zones, is just so competitive. And it's crazy that you just named pretty much the whole, you know, playoff card of teams. And every day matters, literally. Every day matters. You can end up in a completely different spot because of 2 days. two losses. You know, so that I think to me that's just wild, but it also makes it a little bit more exciting to watch and to be involved in. I'm not a LeBron hater. It's just I don't know what it is that I'm tired of, or tired of the Laker thing, and just maybe that whole thing going on over there, the crying about Westbrook and blah, blah, blah. But like I said, we always talked about why didn't LeBron go to the West, and now he's in the West, and he's kind of getting beat up on. And I know we went over their schedule a couple of weeks ago. I was looking at their schedule again on Sunday night, and boy, Big Jack, in 2 weeks, they are most likely going to be kicked out and not even going to be able to make that play-in unless they're able to beat the Warriors and all these good teams. I can't believe how, you know, for them in their position, and if you're a Laker fan, you'd want to see them, you want to see them play these teams. But I think at the end of the season, you'd want to see them play teams you know they can beat, not all the guys that are above them. So it's kind of interesting to read that, see that, and wanted to get your opinion on if you thought the Lakers were even going to make the play-in this year.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll see a lot tonight because they face Dallas tonight. I believe that's actually the first game on TNT tonight. I didn't look at the schedule, but I believe that's accurate. You know, and I mean, I'm kind of on board where you are. Like, I don't hate LeBron either. What I get tired of is they're the 10th place team in the Western Conference, but yet they get a boatload of media attention because now it's, you know, now they get it because they're bad. When they're good, hey, you know, no problem. You want to talk about them? They're a good team. Let's talk about them. But, you know, the Suns, who are the best team in basketball, or the Grizzlies, who are probably the biggest surprise in the NBA. And when they talk about the Western Conference, it's the Lakers. And it's, you know, I'm just kind of like, why? You know, I don't get it. So, yeah, it almost makes me want to root against them because of that. So, you know, it's just like, you know, let's see how they react if the Lakers don't make the playoffs. And, you know, I mean, you know how I feel. One way or the other, the NBA is going to find a way to get the Lakers in the playoffs. You know, there's no doubt about that. It's going to happen. So,
yeah,
you know, they want the Lakers in, and that's it, you know. You know, and well, and I guess the question for you is when the Lakers start running up against some of these better teams, being that it's so late in the season and a team like Golden State already has its playoff spot locked in, do you see them resting their guys and not playing them against the Lakers and the Lakers getting, you know, getting these wins against these teams that they normally wouldn't beat because they got guys sitting out?
And therein lies the reason behind the NBA can find a way to get them in. So,
yeah.
I would hope they'd want to still be competitive. But let's be honest, after Golden State, 73-9, whatever, is that the record, I believe? Ever since that season, them losing, and pretty much LeBron and the entire NBA coming out and saying a regular season doesn't matter, it's the playoffs. I think that's completely possible that they might rest some guys, pull some guys.
Yeah. And now, do you find it funny that when they came up with this play-in thing, LeBron was actually quoted in the media as saying,
yeah,
the guy who invented this should be fired, but if there was no play-in, the Lakers wouldn't even be in?
Well, but wasn't it when they invented it or came out with it before a season started, he was all on board with it as well?
No, he hated it from the start. Now he's on board with it. That first year, he said the guy who came up with the idea should be fired. So, yeah, but now he obviously he's feeling a little better towards it now because it's their only shot at doing anything.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're the 10th place team. They wouldn't even be in. It used to just be eight. So,
well, I mean,
I believe they only have a half game or a game lead on San Antonio. So it's
And they play them twice.
You know, they're right. You know, they're right there. It's going to be interesting to see if they can hang on and get themselves in, because San Antonio has a relatively easier schedule. But to be fair, they're not a great team. So, you know, it was tougher for them to win those games.
Well, and the flip side of that, though, is, you know, like you mentioned, the other teams that, you know, the top eight, and, you know, the Lakers have the Warriors, if not two games. I know they have one. They have Denver. I believe they have a game against Phoenix still, which, like you said, you know, I don't hear anything about Phoenix, and then I see the standings. I'm like, wow, they're the best team in NBA right now. You know, with all that going on, it's just interesting that the Lakers are still the team that everyone's talking about. LeBron's still the headline. I honestly thought that he was for it in the beginning, but, you know, knowing that it's vice versa, I could see why. Because I personally, I don't know. I don't know if I like it or if I don't like it. Doesn't really affect me that much, so it is what it is. But like you mentioned, with those teams, and especially the top four in the last week or two of basketball, they might sit their guys where the Lakers might not want to take on that opportunity. So, you know, they're going to take advantage of it, and LeBron's going to play. I mean, but then therein lies the excuse if they don't make it out of the first round of the play-in, because LeBron had to keep playing while these guys were rested. You know, so it kind of goes both ways. So I feel like no matter what the Lakers decide to do, they're going to be damned if they do and damned if they don't, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the toughest thing for them is, you know, they have, after Dallas, they have a game against Utah, and they still have two games against Denver on their schedule. Those are, you know, Dallas is four, Utah's five, and Denver's six. You know, none of those teams want to fall to seven and end up in the play-in. So they're going to want to win those games against the Lakers. I don't think they'll rest anybody. Golden State, you know, between their injuries, I don't know if they'll have Steph back by then. That may actually be an advantage, because he would need some minutes heading into the playoffs. But yeah, I don't know how, you know, how these teams will handle it, and we'll see. And, you know, to be fair, the Lakers are only a half a game out of ninth, because they lost to the Pelicans, the New Orleans Pelicans, I think it was two nights ago. So, you know, it's not like they're buried in 10th and that's where they're going to be. They could actually jump the Pelicans again here. It'll be a bit of a struggle, but, you know, it's between the Pelicans, the Lakers, and the Spurs on who ends up 9 and 10 in that. I don't think either team is going to catch the Clippers, who has a, you know, a 4 or 5 game lead on them.
You know, and kind of staying with this, do you think the way it's set up now with this play-in, that it's making the teams be that much more competitive throughout the end of the season, and maybe even help give meaning back to the regular season games? Because if you think about it, in kind of years past, I feel like, you know, maybe not this week, a couple weeks, it's we know. You know, it's 1 through 8, and it's done. You know, maybe the 8, 9, and 10 might fight it out just to get that last 8th spot. But I don't remember this many teams at the bottom still fighting to get into the playoffs and even the play-in. So do you think that kind of helps? Maybe, you know, you can't stop all the teams from taking. Definitely you're not going to be able to stop one or two of them, right, from each, you know, one from each league. But with the way it's set up, do you think that's maybe sparking that more competitive edge to make some meaning back to the regular season, so to speak?
Well, you know, I think it helps those, you know, helps make the teams who are on the border there competitive. You know, but obviously, teams like Phoenix and Memphis, you know, Phoenix isn't playing for anything.
Yeah.
You know, Memphis really isn't playing for anything right now. You know, in the East, you got to wonder, how badly these teams want the number one seed. But obviously for like the Bulls and the Raptors, they don't want to fall into the play-in, so they're playing to win.
Yeah.
So I think it helps certain teams. You know, but there are always those teams that, yeah, whatever, you know, I mean, as long as we get in. But I don't think any team wants to fall into the play-in game. I think if you're close to that, you're battling to stay out of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
you know,
I think
just,
in a way, you know, it's helped the end of the regular season a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, you know, because after listening to you describe how you didn't think Denver, Dallas would really take the opportunity to rest guys, and, you know, because that could put them in the spot where they're in the play-in. So it does – it kind of got that spark going. And, you know, I didn't really have an opinion on it. When you know, depending on how the records go, you know, if it's a way below 500 team and they end up getting the play-in and winning and going a couple rounds, you're like, ugh. But, you know, it's kind of the way it goes. But I don't know. I think I'm starting to feel that maybe this – I can agree with it. And it's something I actually, you know, I think made the game better.
Yeah, you know, it definitely hasn't hurt it. You know, I think the biggest problem with it is the fact that while they don't say it, you know, you have 20 out of 32 teams in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Or 20 out of 30 teams make the playoffs. That's a big number. so 16 was a lot, and then they expanded it. So
yeah, and you know, I mean, I don't know if you agree with me, but, and you know, now is the time I would think. But do you think, because we haven't really heard much expansion talk, I'm wondering if that's going to come about. I mean, the situations, I don't remember what they were, but I know there was a lot of talk of bringing the team back to Seattle, bring some Supersonics back so you can like the NBA again. I don't know how you'd counter that. You know, with the way things are, would you want to add another Canadian team? I wouldn't really know. So it's kind of interesting.
Because it would have to be in the East, and that's where Toronto is. Is there another major Indian city out that way?
Well, I mean, if you're thinking Toronto, you know, Buffalo's close. It would definitely be in the Northeast, wouldn't it? I don't think you could really add another team in our area. You know, is Kansas City or someplace like that, some Midwestern place, a good candidate? I really couldn't say.
You know, I think adding the second team, fair, what they could do is add two teams to the Western Conference and put Memphis in the East where they actually belong.
Yeah.
You know, or even, you know, if you didn't want to move Memphis, you could move Minnesota, but obviously Memphis is a lot farther east than Minnesota, you know, than the Timberwolves. So, you know, you could do something like that and add a Seattle and, you know, a Las Vegas, since that seems to be the hotbed of where everybody wants to go now. You know,
yeah,
you could do something like that.
I got to take my couple minutes. I'll listen to you kind of go over this because I find that interesting. That's a good spot, Los Angeles or Vegas.
Yeah, well, you know, Vegas, obviously, you know, they have the Raiders. They have the Golden Knights. You know, and for a while, teams were, you know, you didn't want to go to Vegas because of the gambling. But now, you know, like we talked earlier with FanDuel, you know, FanDuel, DraftKings, you can bet through those sites. It's not like you have to go to Vegas or you have to go to Atlantic City to place bets. You can just do them online. You know, you see commercials for them all the time. I mean, right here in Illinois, they run the commercial, you know, oh, if you're a resident of Illinois, you can do this and that and all that stuff. So, you know, there's no faux pas with moving into Vegas now for any teams or any leagues. And, you know, you wonder if the NBA is next. you know, because I don't see baseball expanding. But, yeah, you know, the NBA could, you know, the Seattle deserves to get their team back. So it would be nice to see them move back in there. And then, you know, again, what, Vegas is the logical choice. I mean, you know, where else would you add? Do you want to add another team, you know, in the Northwest? Do you want to add a, you know, an Oregon? You know, could we add a team there? I don't think, you know, like Idaho or the Dakotas have the population to add a major sport team. So, you know, you probably would stay away from there. You know, you don't want to add another team in Utah or, you know, Denver. You know, you don't want to add another team in that area, Colorado. So it makes logical sense unless you think you could put, you know, the Albuquerque Isotopes in New Mexico or something. And yes, that's a Simpsons reference. You probably don't know it, but it's a Simpsons reference. So yeah, you know, maybe that, you know, I would, you know, otherwise I'd have to start looking at the map of the United States. Could Texas handle one more team? You know, we've got Dallas, we've got San Antonio. Could they handle, and then we've got Houston. I forget Houston's there because they're so bad. You know, could Texas handle a fourth team? Could California handle a fourth team? I mean, you know, the two teams play in L.A., Golden State's in San Francisco. Could San Diego handle a team? You know, I know if you go way back, not in the NBA, but in the, you know, the ABA, they had the San Diego Conquistadors. You know, could that handle a team? You know, would they be interested in bringing in a second pro sports team? You know, they lost the Chargers. So would they be interested in another professional sport to go along with the Padres? You know, I guess it's possible. So, maybe that could be an option. I'm trying to think of another big Texas, you know, town besides Dallas and San Antonio, or, you know, besides Dallas and Houston. I mean, San Antonio really isn't even that big, but obviously they did well winning all the championships. So, I don't know how that would work out. Is El Paso big enough to hold an NBA team? I don't know if they would want to go into Mexico and put a team in Mexico City. I honestly think that's more of a baseball thing. I don't know how basketball would play out there, especially, you know, professional. But, yeah, there's definitely options. I mean, you know, they tried Vancouver. It didn't work. I don't know if they would look into going farther north, or maybe, you know, would they – I don't know if they'd be willing to go back into Vancouver. I mean, that's how the Grizzlies ended up in Memphis. So – you know, we would have to see, but, you know, I guess if they wanted to keep it as it is, you could try to maybe put a team in Alabama. You know, I know college football is king in that area, but it was in Oklahoma as well, and, you know, that team has hung on and actually drawn fairly well, I believe. So, I can't think of any other, like, place where they could go in the Eastern Conference. So, yeah, it would be interesting. I mean, obviously, I think the logical choices are Seattle and Las Vegas, and then you move Memphis into the East. You know, and interestingly enough, if Memphis is in the East, if they were in the East right now, they would be the number one team with a pretty sizable lead. So maybe the other Eastern Conference teams don't want Memphis in it. You know, we'll have to see how that shakes out. But I haven't heard any NBA expansion talk as of late. So we'll have to see if there something comes up. You know, and maybe the pandemic is kind of still holding that back, because I know, you know, there is some here. Let me see what this says here. 2023 NBA expansion and realignment. All right. Now, I don't know who is this. Who is this by? Do we have a? Yeah, it's just an idea. They have the Las Vegas Blackjacks, which is kind of interesting. They have the LA Clippers moving. They have the New Orleans Pelicans moving, and then they have the Seattle Supersonics joining. So, you know, that would be basically what we've been talking about.
Is this just
I don't know where the Clippers would go. What?
Is this just speculation, or is this like a plan by the NBA?
Yeah, it looks like it's just, you know, let's see. Actually, it says here that the owners voted between two expansion teams in the 23-24 season. So, and it looks like, yeah, it looks like they've decided that it will be Seattle and Las Vegas. It'll be the Supersonics and the Blackjacks.
That's kind of
and then,
funny.
Yeah,
that's
they're doing exactly what you want to mention. The Grizzlies would move to the east. So, that's what we would get. Yeah, I don't know. What is it talking about by the Clippers moving? Does it say? Yeah, it looks like the Clippers are planning to build their own stadium. There's no date on when that's going to happen. And then the Pelicans, the Pelicans are relocating to Kansas City, Missouri for the 24-25 season. So.
Is that for real?
Yeah, that's what it says right here.
Wow.
So, yeah, it looks like New Orleans is going to lose their team. So we'll see how that goes.
I don't know if it's that great of a spot. You know, the other night I don't know if it was the Bulls-Pelicans game or something, but, I mean, wherever the camera was, there was no fans in the stands.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why they're moving.
Yeah. They're going to be the Kansas City Monarchs?
You know, I don't think it says. I hope they're not going to be the Kansas City Pelicans. Let me see if they can. Yeah, they don't have a name. So let's hope it's not the Kansas City Pelicans. So,
yeah. When you get a sec, you should send me the link. I want to check that out. That's a pretty cool plan, though. I like the Blackjacks.
Yeah.
Of course, the guy selling T-shirts outside is going to have some BJ shirts.
Interestingly, they're owned by a gentleman by the name of Jackie Robinson.
Really?
Yeah. So,
Pelicans?
No, the Blackjacks.
Oh.
So.
I think it's a good plan. So, I mean, you'd have, what, 30 or 30? They have 32 teams. So that's 16 in each division.
So yeah, it you know it's
or
it's
each conference.
It's definitely
conference.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll get two teams, not next season, but the season after that.
Huh. Wow.
So.
Now I don't remember any NBA expansion. Follow a similar format, so like what you know, Major League Baseball and NHL have done with the the team drafts and whatever. You get to protect your players and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, they actually have, when you get in it, I sent it to your Gmail account, the one with the 9 on it, because I never know which one you're looking at. But they have the rules for the expansion draft in here. So you'll be able to check all that out and see how they're going to do it. It's we only have 5 minutes. I don't think I could read all of it in 5 minutes. Yeah. It's quite expansive with the expansion draft.
Wow.
So
I don't know.
Maybe
tomorrow
we can get there. Maybe we can bring it back and we can go over it again. So.
Yeah. You know, for me, I think it shakes up the league a little bit and it makes it exciting. It brings some more excitement back to it. And like you said,
you know, the
stigma that Vegas used to have is gone. So I think it's cool to make them, like you said, a hotbed for a new team, expansion team.
Definitely. So. Yeah. I need your advice here in the last 4 minutes. We got to get off the basketball talk for a minute because you got to help me with this. You know, Fridays I podcast with Schomburg Stu. Dan gets the long weekend. Just about every day, Dan, eventually with one of my emails from Stu, he brings up the fact, like today, here's this one. I was looking at the proposed starting lineup of the Cubs, and dreadful is the first word that came to mind. I don't respond to that. I don't know what to say.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I haven't even bothered looking. You know, this might be one of those seasons where I'm only looking at the lineup that's the day of. You know, I think I mentioned I bought my one set of tickets. They're up in the nose, up in the top. Didn't spend a whole lot of money. Plan to go sit there for 2 innings and then go sit at that grassy park for the rest of the game as long as it's not raining. But, yeah, it's another rebuild, and it's not supposed to be the greatest thing you should see when you wake up in the morning is the Cubs starting lineup. If you think about it, knowing what we know, I'm sure. Now I can't even think of his name, Mr. No Face. You know, No Smiles, the kid that came up too quick. He's the only one left of their draft picks, Jeds or Theo's and Jeds. He was the representative He's going to lead off. For how long, I don't know. I'm sure he'll be in that position. And then it's going to be a revolving door until David Ross in the front office get it right, I guess.
Yeah.
You know what, I'm the only thing I can say I'm glad for is with they did make the veteran signings more so, because they didn't come out here with that BS line of, oh, we need a clubhouse leader and all that crap. You know, I didn't see too much.
You know.
I just saw we signed them. So at least we're not getting filled with a lot of hot air.
The music is coming from the end of the season, but we'll be back tomorrow. So don't worry, we'll be doing well. Somewhere when it's foodstudy.com, we put a new blog over there tomorrow. Get that link to the Facebook page and click on the link, please. The CSU is off sports on radio, and feel free to listen to us, but it is, well, we're okay with that. And if you want to stop on and listen to us live, we're going to be doing it, but if you don't call, just come on over to CSU.com and you can listen anytime you want. Goodbye, everyone.
SportsTimeRadio.com.